Oh yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the Side Project Podcast. Yes. Oh, God. Tastes like glory. Tastes like glory, ladies and gentlemen. How is everybody doing, man? You guys know how it goes. Hope everybody's doing well. I'm not going to waste any time here today because I've got a lot of things that I want to talk about with my guest this week, who is a Marvel fan. He is a DC fan. He is a Star Wars fan, a Power Rangers fan, and he puts his love for these fandoms to good use, cosplaying the likes of the amazing Spider-Man, Superman, the Batman, and so many more, starring in Nerdbot Studios' Qui-Gon Legends series as General Grievous, alongside his work as the White Ranger and Lord Dragon in Crimson Vision's Shattered Past. I've had the pleasure of working with him in the past, and he is a previous cosplay of the week. Let's give a warm welcome to Hands Together for Corruption Cosplay. Yes.
Here I am.
How's it going, man?
I'm all right. I'm doing good, man. I am excited to be here.
Yes, dude.
I've been wanting to be on here for a while, so I'm stoked.
Thank you, man. Yes, dude, we did the Batman shoot together, man, and we did not know each other before that, but when we met, it all just kind of clicked. We had a great time, and we both have podcasts. We both love all these different fandoms. We started talking about it, and it was just laughs and a good time, and we mentioned making this happen, so I'm glad that it finally happened, dude. And you've got a lot of cool projects that you're a part of right now. You're an amazing cosplayer, and we're definitely going to dive into some of that, but before we do so, I haven't talked about it yet on the pod, so let's talk about Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness, dude. Corruption attended the premiere of this film, and he did so in character in your Doctor Strange cosplay. So I guess we are going to talk about your cosplay very briefly, because I just wanted to mention that your Doctor Strange cosplay is awesome, and it's up on the screen right now for people that are watching. Specifically, taking a look at the photos that were done by Art Hero Photo. These photos, man, you. Art Hero's edits, his photo in general, phenomenally done, dude. Kudos. I love it. They're so well done, man. And I just wanted to bring that up since we are talking about Doctor Strange. These are really, really, really well done.
Sometimes just can't help myself.
For anybody that's tuning in right now, I do want to let you know that it seems like we have a little bit of a delay between me and Corruption when we talk, like a 2-second delay. I may edit some of that, you know, best that I can in editing, but just bear with us if there's like, you know, if we talk over each other or something, seems to be a little bit of a delay. So this movie, man, Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness, has Marvel fans extremely divided from what I've been seeing online. You either loved it or you hated it almost. I don't know if there's an in between, you know?
Yeah, it's really hard to see if there's any kind of mid ground on this one. I know that personally, I really, really liked it. I had a great time with it. I thought it was almost better than the first Doctor Strange.
Wow. That's a big one. I thought that one was good.
I know.
Yeah.
The first Doctor Strange is amazing. Obviously, cause I cosplay him all the time, but second one for me just hits like a whole other level, like emotion wise, and that I think really connected for me, that I really liked.
Let's just go off the bat. I know people usually do like ratings and everything, like at the end after they talk about it. But you know what, man? Just go right on it. I mean, what would you rate this movie? I mean, what were your overall thoughts on the movie? Let's go right out the bat with a rating.
I'd probably give it an 8 out of 10. If I was going to do it on a scale, I would give it an 8 out of 10. There's definitely some parts of the movie that feel, you know, a little rocky writing wise, and they don't quite match up to what the rest of the movie's doing. But I think that those parts are so small that the overall story shines through for me a lot more.
Nice. No, and I can respect that. And the reason I say it that way is because, yes, this movie has a lot of people divided, and I thought that this would make for a great episode. As everybody who tunes into my show knows that I'm a giant Marvel fan. I often get called a Marvel fanboy. People often tell me, oh, you're always shitting on DC and loving on Marvel. So the people that say those things are going to be in for a surprise here today, because I didn't like Multiverse of Madness as much as I thought that I would. And my rating is gotta be, I can't decide. People know I'm very indecisive. I can't decide 100%, but I would say my rating somewhere between a 6 and a 7, which is crazy even for me because I often rate Marvel movies pretty high. Like, I'll admit it. I'm it's strange because a lot of people didn't like Eternals, and I actually was a big fan of the Eternals. Did you like Eternals or no?
No, I was very bored.
There we go.
Throughout that movie.
See,
yep.
There we go. Strange. I don't know. No pun intended when I say strange, but strange. I absolutely loved Eternals. And then here I am not liking Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness as much as I thought it was. And a lot of people I see that are going around on the internet and everything, they seem to say like, they're always like, oh, people didn't like Multiverse of Madness because they expected more cameos. Like, I see that being a bullet point in a lot of people's arguments. And while I understand where those people are coming from when they say that they feel like that's why people didn't like it, my reasonings for liking it, although that is maybe something that pops into my mind, and I'll explain that, but my reasoning for not liking it as much as I thought I would is actually different from what I see a lot of people saying. And that's maybe just a personal thing for me. I come to realize that maybe I don't like Sam Raimi as a director as much as I thought I did. And that's where people often tell me that argue against this is, it's not just Sam though. It's also, you've got to look at the writing. You know, if there was executive meddling, which there was executive meddling, there was 40 minutes of this movie was cut. So I feel like that hinders, possibly Sam's direction as well. You know, if it wasn't his decision to cut those 40 minutes, what could have been in those 40 minutes that we didn't get to see, you know? And maybe that would change my opinion on it as well if I would have been able to see that 40 minutes of extra footage. But my reasoning for not liking it is more, this had a very early 2000s feel to it. And some may like that and some may not like that. Did you get an early 2000s feel from this as well? Or is that just me?
No, I think that there's a little bit of that there. It definitely comes across like with the Sam Raimi stylings, I think.
Right.
And that's one of the main reasons I really liked this movie is because of all of the very Raimi-esque stuff going on in the movie. And I think I just enjoyed that being in the Marvel universe more than anything else. And I can understand why people wouldn't like that because Sam Raimi's. Yeah. And there's an element of Raimi that doesn't work for everybody. I think it has a lot to do with the horror elements of stuff. Like some people weren't probably prepared for that in some ways. But I was like, Sam Raimi, I'm in. Like
At first I felt the same exact way throughout. Like if anybody tuned into I covered Doctor Strange so many different times. Every time there was rumors or any speculation, I talked about it. I covered it. I was so hyped for all of this. And I was actually pretty stoked to see Sam Raimi return, you know, because I am a fan of the old Spider-Man movies and everything, Tobey Maguire and all that. So I was definitely excited for that. But maybe as time has gone on, I just, I guess the way I felt was like, I don't know if I like this type of direction today. Maybe I liked it back then. It felt good back then because maybe we also didn't have really anything else to compare it to. Now we have like 12 years of Marvel movies that have taken different directions. And then here comes Sam Raimi and he puts his very Sam Raimi stamp on it. But aside from just, I don't want to just shit on Sam Raimi because a lot of people do say like, it's also the writing. And I do want to talk about the writing because you mentioned something about, you did see some holes in the writing, some things that you could have been better. And what was that for you? I mean, was it dialogue choices? Was it scripting choices? I mean, where did you feel like something could have been better in the writing?
Definitely scripting choices. I think like one of the things that I wanted out of this movie was a lot more multiverse stuff.
Right. I agree.
And you know, they end up only going to like, I don't know how far we can get into spoilers on this.
I think everybody tuning in right now. I didn't say it in the beginning. I usually do, but spoiler alert, obviously. This is going to be a review of Multiverse of Madness. This is a spoiler. So if you haven't watched it, don't turn away. Continue watching the episode. Timestamps are in the description on YouTube as well as on Spotify. And you can skip to the other stuff that we talk about after the Multiverse of Madness if you haven't seen it. But spoiler alert, my bad. Go ahead, keep going.
Oh, no worries. So I like now that I can talk about them. The whole middle section of the movie, the Illuminati, like I think that that's the part that loses me a lot. I love all the characters in it, but I think that that part derails what's going on with Doctor Strange and a few of the other characters story-wise. It does give you they do give you the backstories there and stuff, but I think the Illuminati themselves and all of their death scenes were like sort of unnecessary to the plot.
I kind of agree. It's the Illuminati is something that I both liked and didn't like. I was expecting it before they even started kind of teasing it in trailers. I did a lot of episodes where I spoke about it, where I speculated on what could happen. I thought the lineup for the Illuminati was going to be a little bit different, but I mean, it also makes sense. You know, not everything's going to be exactly how the comics are. They got to change a few things here and there. I both liked the Illuminati in this movie, their appearances, and both disliked it. I just kind of felt like, how do I say it? Like what did I dislike here? I kind of understand that they killed them off so fast because they had to make Wanda, you know, she's the Scarlet Witch now. They had to show that she's the almighty. She's extremely powerful. Look at everything that she can do. You know, I get that. But then at the same time, it's like the Illuminati is made up of, I guess we'll keep it with not comic accuracy, just what this movie is. In this Illuminati, they're kind of made up of some of the strongest in the universe, or I guess the multiverse, you know? Captain Marvel's supposed to be extremely, you know, extremely, extremely strong. Captain Carter, I don't know. She's still kind of Captain America. As she's strong enough. I mean, I don't know. I feel like Scarlet Witch, in my opinion, could take on Captain Carter for sure. But yeah, then you've got like even Professor X, Black Bolt. Black Bolt could have just screamed and done it.
Why did he wait?
Yeah, exactly. That's what I mean. Like, I feel like they would have, I don't know, they should have done more. But at the same time, I get it. I'm like conflicted. And then let's talk about how they introduced, first of all, John Krasinski as Mr. Fantastic. Did you like it or didn't you like it?
I liked it. I liked it. John Krasinski as the character. I think he fits really well. Me too. That's in my plans. So.
Oh, nice, dude. Nice. Yes. I can see that happening for you, though. You have a good look for that.
Yeah, I was like, ooh, that's it's a nice suit. You know, it's a nice suit. I got to have that blue and black. It is. I just love the material choices for it and everything.
Yes, me too, dude.
Boy, howdy did they make him look really stupid, though, in this movie.
Yes, they introduced him as the smartest man alive, and then he instantly tells Wanda basically how to overcome Black Bolt within a second.
Yep. Yeah.
He gives her the tools.
I don't know why he would do it, but he did it.
And the smartest man alive, Reed Richards of the Fantastic Four.
I do want to touch on something you did mention, which I didn't expect from you actually to say, that it wasn't really a multiverse movie. And that's actually one of my bullet points that I have is I felt like if you're going to call it Multiverse of Madness, it should be absolutely chaotic throughout multiverses. That's what I was just expecting. Yes. That's what they made it seem. That's what they made it seem like they were leading up to with No Way Home going into Multiverse of Madness. That's what the trailers kind of made it tease. It's in the name itself. And then in reality, they only went to like maybe two or three different universes. If you're not counting the fact that they just skimmed through a bunch when America and Doctor Strange were pushed through the multiverses and they were going through all of them. Really, I think the Multiverse of Madness just caters to the fact that Wanda wants America Chavez, or rather her powers, so she can go to be with her kids. But it's not even so much that she wants to travel even the multiverse to find her kids. It's just like one. It's just like one universe that she has her sights set on.
Yeah, like she found the one she wanted, and that's the only one she's going to. Yeah.
So it's still not really a multiverse movie, in my personal opinion. And then that's where a lot of the internet's like, well, that's where people are just complaining, and you just wanted to see cameos and a lot more multiverses. I mean, yes and no. It's like, yeah, I mean, they named it Multiverse of Madness, so I was expecting multiverses. Like, yeah. Am I wrong for that?
No, I don't think so. One of the things that I think is on my end, I think that there's definitely a lack of going to other multiverses. And I think that the one, like, Marvel has already done a really good multiverse story that satiated what I wanted from this. And that's the What If show. Like, the final two episodes of What If both, like, do the multiverse, like, jumping around stuff. Like, the entire show really nails, I think, what this movie should have been doing, like, really well. And I get it on both sides. I don't think you can do a multiverse with a Sam Raimi type story sometimes, because Sam Raimi is very, like, close to the characters, and he has
that's his
really
style.
Nail down their emotions and stuff. Yeah.
Yes.
And that's his style of writing and how he directs and stuff. So keeping it a little bit more focused makes sense in that way. But titling it Multiverse of Madness, I think, was setting him up for failure.
What is grief, if not love? Persevering.
Something that I did like, though, throughout this movie is I really did like Wanda. I loved Wanda's arc. I loved Scarlet Witch. I thought she did a great job. I was very interested in that. I've always loved her. How did you feel about the WandaVision series? Did you love that series?
Like all of the Disney Plus shows so far, I loved the first, like, six episodes of the show, and then the final two kind of fall flat. But I think it's just because they devolve a lot into the main Marvel endings, which is hero has to defeat bad guy with similar powers. There's a lot of lasers and explosions. I don't know, like it happens in all of them, and it's I can't be mad about it at this point. But I love the first portion of that series is amazing, and but it leads into one of my other issues with the movie, is that Wanda just becomes as obsessed with finding her kids, but in the WandaVision show, everything was because Vision died. And I'm like, why isn't she looking for a universe where Vision is alive?
True.
That seems like a big miss.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know where that part of the story went.
Right.
And maybe that was a choice by Sam to focus on a different thing.
Maybe. Mm-hmm. Maybe he wanted to have that, like, that motherly connection, that mom and kid connection, and it builds a lot more emotion. Mm-hmm. Maybe he was thinking they already kind of touched on Vision in the WandaVision series, so I'm going to go this route with it. I don't know, but you're right. It is kind of a plot hole. She just doesn't care about Vision anymore. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like Vision's just gone.
Yeah,
and she mentions Vision, and it's weird because the way she mentions Vision is that, like, white Vision doesn't exist.
Right. I was gonna bring that up right now. It's also like, if she cared so much about Vision in the same way that she's trying to find her kids so much, why isn't she, like you said, trying to find a Vision from another universe, but also why isn't she even remotely interested in talking to, finding white Vision and figuring that aspect out too? It's not even a thing as well. I found that strange.
Yeah. Like a total missed plot opportunity to add more development to her. And maybe that was part of whatever the 40 minutes was.
Could have been. And speaking on that 40 minutes, I felt like the beginning, we don't know where the 40 minutes could have been, you know, chopped up throughout the entirety of the movie. It could have been in chunks. It could have been, we have no idea, but the beginning of the movie actually felt a little rushed to me. And I felt like maybe that's where some cuts were. In my opinion, that some cuts could have been in the beginning, in the first half of the movie. And like I keep saying, we know 40 minutes were cut. And if I'm not mistaken, I believe the writers or a producer, somebody attached to this movie confirmed that due to scheduling conflicts, it did not occur. But Tom Cruise as Iron Man was actually a thing. He was supposed to be in the movie, or at least they were considering it. I don't know how far it got, but they did confirm that due to scheduling conflicts, it didn't occur. And I mean, that makes sense to me though, because we do see the Ultron bots. So obviously his Ultron, what's it called again? Is it the Ultron Initiative? I don't remember the whole thing he was doing with Ultron.
Like the Ultron program or something.
Yeah, the Ultron program. Yeah. Obviously it was successful in that universe, in 838, I think is the universe. So obviously an Iron Man exists and they just didn't touch on it at all, which I guess that's fine with me. If you can't showcase it, I guess that's fine. Why even touch on it? And they did introduce Reed Richards as the smartest man alive. I mean, you've got Tony Stark, who's extremely smart as well. We see that the Ultron program worked, so they just didn't touch on it. They could have. They could have said he died. They could have said he was busy. I don't know what the case is, but they didn't touch on it. So obviously, I feel like, I mean, they didn't shoot anything, but I feel like that was at least written, and that was taken out of the script before they got to shooting it, obviously. It was also confirmed, and this was shot, by the way. I don't know if you saw this. This was shot and cut from the film, so this was in the 40 minutes. Michael Fassbender's iteration of Magneto was actually in the film, and they shot scenes for it.
Whoa.
Yeah, and they cut it.
Oh, that would have been awesome. What the heck?
And apparently it was supposed to be like absolutely insane. Forgive me, I don't have all the notes in front of me, so I don't remember. So I'm going off of what I read and what I could remember. So forgive me if something is incorrect. But I believe they said that it was going to be an absolutely insane scene, possibly a heartbreaking scene, where similar to how they killed Strange, the Illuminati killed Strange, they were actually in another universe going to show how they had to kill the Scarlet Witch. And that's where Magneto was in that scene. And he was telling them, like, they were going to Magneto for approval to basically murder his daughter. And he had to look at the bigger picture and accept it and okay it. And they killed her. And supposedly, that's what was cut. That was a part of the 40 minutes that was cut. And I don't know why they cut it.
So good.
Some people were saying they cut it because it was too dark. But again, who knows if that's confirmed? I don't know.
But Black
Bolt, right?
Bolt blowing his own brains out is not too dark.
Exactly.
That's fine. We can get away with that one. What?
I know, man.
I think there are definitely references there for Iron Man being around. Like you said, the Ultron robots. And like, there's an empty seat on the council.
Yes.
Like,
so maybe that's
it's not Mordo's
implied.
Chair.
Maybe that's implied.
Yes. Yeah. I think there's an implication that there was one more member.
Right.
There's just one other thing about the Reed Richards that I wanted to mention is that he uses a very similar door tech to the time doors.
Oh my God.
From the
I'm glad you brought that up, because I don't have that in my notes. I told myself last night, I got to add that to my notes, but I totally forgot. So I'm so glad you brought that up, dude. That's so interesting.
It's so cool.
Yes. I love when Marvel does those things.
Because Kang's supposed to be his kid,
right?
Like in the far future.
Yes.
Like, he's supposed to be a descendant.
Yes.
And like, so, oh my gosh, it's just crazy how they connected it. I'm like,
that I get really nerdy when it comes to stuff like that. See, that's why, like, this is what I like about this conversation about talking about Multiverse of Madness, even though I gave it the rating I did and I didn't like certain things. It's not, along the internet, people are absolutely tearing each other apart. And I mean, whatever, do whatever you want, but we don't have to do that, because I'm living proof right now of that I didn't really like the movie, but there are also are a lot of things in the movie that I was excited about and that, like, I get nerdy about, and that also make me excited for the future and what's to possibly come, you know. Even though there's other Marvel movies that I didn't like as much as others and whatnot, but I was still excited about tidbits and certain things and what they set up for the future, because Marvel is so connected and they have so many things planned for the future. So I still do get excited about little things, such as where this may be headed, man. At the end, you know, major spoiler alert, but this whole thing is a spoiler alert. At the end, we see Strange, the third eye opens, and then at the very end, we see what's her name? Is it Clea? I think the girl that comes in, is it Clea? I don't know exactly how to pronounce it. I always forget.
Something like that.
Yeah, she comes out, and she's actually the she is the niece, I believe, of Dormammu, who we saw in the first Doctor Strange movie.
That is correct. Yes.
So we know the Dark Dimension is going to play a role in moving forward. Dormammu will probably play a role moving forward. And I think that this will also play a role moving forward that's going to be a contribution in setting up Secret Wars, I think. And that makes me super excited. I really love stuff like that.
I'm loving that lead up.
Yeah.
It's going to be great.
Me too.
Yeah.
And I have a theory. You tell me what you think about this. I have a theory. I haven't seen anybody else talk about this at all. I've spoke about it with a few people. Some people said that they didn't necessarily agree with me. That's totally fine. And then other people were like, actually, that's a pretty interesting theory, and it is a possibility. I don't think it's comic accurate in any sort of way, but I believe, if I'm not mistaken, it's still being made. It was announced that Agatha from the WandaVision series is going to be getting her own series, her own D Plus series. I believe that's still happening. I don't know if it was 100% confirmed, but I believe that's still happening. If it is happening, some people are saying, what's the future for Wanda? This can't be it. It's kind of confirmed but slash rumored that she's going to be getting her own solo project. I think it would be a waste if they don't use her in some way, shape, or form in the future, especially with the X-Men coming to the MCU, and she is technically a mutant. I think it would be a waste to not tie that in some way, somehow. So I think if there's going to be an Agatha series, I think there's a perfect opportunity for Agatha. We have no idea what that series is going to be about, from what I know. If Agatha is going to possibly be trying to find a way to get a hold of the Darkhold again, Wanda says she destroys it, right? And she kind of destroys herself in the process so nobody else could get a hold of the Darkhold. I think there's a possibility, just theorizing, Agatha, the series, could be about, if it's not a prequel, by the way, could be a prequel about Agatha, that she could be trying to find a way to get a hold of the Darkhold again. And in the process, I don't know if Wanda's dead. I don't know exactly what that entails. But if she's dead, resurrects Wanda or something, or finds Wanda protecting the Darkhold, I don't know the logistics. But she finds Wanda, and that's how we get Wanda coming back. And then maybe that's kind of towards the end of the Agatha series, which leads into, I don't know, God knows what, the future, Secret Wars, X-Men, something in Doctor Strange. I have no idea where it goes. I haven't worked it out that far. But that's just a random theory that I have. Do you think that's possible in any shape, way, or form?
I 100% think that's possible. Like, you know, comic book rule number one, nobody's ever really dead.
Right.
You can never count on anybody to stay in the ground, you know?
Yeah.
Especially in this movie.
Yes.
You know, nobody stays in the ground in
exactly.
this movie.
He resurrects himself. Strange resurrects himself. So
it's great. That's probably like, I think that might be my favorite bit of the film. That whole final battle is just amazing. But I definitely think Wanda could get brought back by Agatha 100%. Because, you know, the Darkhold might have gotten destroyed in other dimensions. But if Wanda herself is the key to the Darkhold, then Agatha going after her body or spirit or whatever it is could definitely bring her back.
Wherever you lie on the spectrum of opinions with Multiverse of Madness, whether you liked it or whether you disliked it, I do think that the future of MCU is bright. I do think that we have to wait. There's some things that I have questions about. There's a couple things that I'm a little skeptical about, but I am nonetheless excited to see where it goes and hopeful that a lot of things that I've talked about in the past do come to light. So like I said, wherever you lie on the spectrum of opinions of Multiverse of Madness, I do know something that I believe that we can all agree on that are very well done, and that are the projects that you are a part of, the series that you are a part of, that and that's both Power Rangers Shattered Past as well as Qui-Gon Legends, man. I'm a Star Wars fan. I don't believe I get the opportunity to talk about Star Wars enough. And coincidentally, recently, a few people have reached out to me actually asking me to cover some Star Wars topics. So this is very fitting. Let's start with the fact that you're a part of Nerdbot Studios' new project, a Star Wars series entitled Qui-Gon Legends, written by Colin K. Bass, which as of this recording, episode one is available on Nerdbot's YouTube channel as we speak, premiered on May 4th. It's a series about the Jedi, Qui-Gon Jinn, a fan favorite. The series is said to dive deeper into the lore, Qui-Gon's untold stories with new characters, returning fan favorites, among much more. And one of those returning fan favorites, I know I dig him. I've dug his look for a long time. And that's who you are portraying, the feared Jedi hunter, General Grievous. Tell me a little bit about your involvement in the series, man. How did you landing this role come about?
So I've been working with Nerdbot since we started with the Shattered Past stuff a couple of years back. I started off with them there. And Elvin Zuleta, who's the leader of Nerdbot, he's like the head guy. He knew that I have like a ton of costumes and stuff. So he asked me to come over one day to help him design the character for Qui-Gon, which is General Grievous's original look. Nice. So we based it a lot off of pieces from my Kylo Ren suit, as well as other found materials and stuff to create the look, like from his home planet, like what he would look like there, and nice. What the soldiers that he was a part of looked like as well.
Right.
And we based it off of sort of a blend of Kylo Ren and like there's only one concept figure I think that's been released of that design of Grievous. That's like the pre Android design of him, and we based it off of a blend of those two things.
Dude,
that's what we're getting into, is we're delving into General Grievous's origins here show as well.
Yes For people that don't know, man, the story of Grievous is actually really interesting, as he was originally a Kalish hailing from the planet Kali, where a conflict broke out, a war, and he's seen as a very skilled warrior amongst his people. And then following the death of his female counterpart at the hands of the Huck, I believe I'm pronouncing that correctly, he invaded and conquered their home world, thus leading them to turn to the Galactic Republic, whom forced the Kali back to their own world and let them starve. And then Grievous set on helping his people. In the process, he was bombed and left critically injured, thus leading to the reconstructed cyborg Grievous, who was used as a weapon for Count Dooku. So that's basically kind of what you're going to be. I know you can't touch on certain things, and you said what you said, so tread lightly if you need to, but that's basically kind of where you're picking up here. Is that what's happening?
He's still pre Android, so he hasn't been exploded or anything like that yet. So I think there will be a blend of the stories type of thing, but we'll have to see where it goes. If you guys want to find out more, tune into episode one so we can get those views, so we can get episode two made.
Yes. And that's what I was going to ask. Episode one is out now. So, but I believe you kind of just answered it. So you haven't filmed any other scenes for Grievous yet.
No, just that initial scene. That's all we've shot with Grievous so far. So yeah. I'm excited to shoot more in the future, though, because to help design this character and make him come to life is just super cool.
Wonder if they'll need any assistance.
They've been tasked with apprehending a team of mercenaries on Bespin. They're led by a Kalish warlord.
I can't wait for this, and I won't spoil anything, but just trust me, you guys, watch episode one of Qui-Gon Legends and you will not be disappointed. You will not be disappointed. It is it's fan service for sure, man. So far in your acting ventures, it seems that you're kind of on a roll with playing more so villains, dare I say, if I'm not mistaken, as you're also a part of Crimson Vision Studios Power Rangers series, Shattered Past. And I quote, "The morphing grid may be shattered, but hope is not lost. Sam, the SPD Omega Ranger, is sent back in time to stop the legendary Tommy Oliver from becoming the evil Lord Draken. With his Omega Morpher teleportation teleportation powers and help from Power Rangers throughout time, he will try to save the future by fixing the shattered past. And if I'm not mistaken, you portray the White Ranger, thus leading to Lord Draken as well. I've seen posts where you discussed how great of a time that you've been having on set of this series. So besides the love that you have for portraying these beloved characters in general, is there something to be said about portraying a villain that can bring another aspect of adventure to acting?
Yeah, 100%. I think getting to portray the villains is almost more fun sometimes than portraying the heroes, because you really get to let loose and just go nuts.
Yeah.
Which is really fun. Like it's a great time to be able to just like ham it up and eat the scenery and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Which is one of the main things I try to do channeling Draken, is that he's a Power Ranger originally, but he is a classic Power Rangers villain in the same vein.
Yeah.
So with the way that they're over exaggerated most of the time, true, I think I try to bring that as well to Draken. And nice. I love doing that stuff. It's great.
How is it acting with your face so covered? I mean, are there obstacles to overcome, being that you can't express facial emotion? I'm certain that you have to portray a lot more body language than something else, you know, than another role.
100%. I have experience portraying emotions and stuff through just body language, because I used to be a Disneyland resort. So I have a lot of experience doing it there. So bringing that that work to this really transfers easily for me. So acting with my face covered and everything, it can be a little tough, like for like the fight scenes and stuff. Cause you know, visibility and range of motion right. stuff is a little different, but in terms of the acting side of it, I think I made the jump pretty well.
Right. Yeah. It came off very well from what I've seen. I don't see any issues at all. And then, I mean, it's kind of just the norm for Power Rangers in general, because oftentimes when they're in suit, obviously, you know, their faces are covered, and in Power Rangers throughout, you know, the history of the Power Rangers, they're very animated with their movements and their hand movements. So it's a commonplace for a Power Rangers series.
They gotta be.
Yeah, they gotta be. Exactly. Your White Ranger cosplay and your Lord Draken cosplay, did you have these cosplays before you were cast in the series, or was this something that you got, you know, for the series?
The White Ranger cosplay I had before I got cast. Mm-hmm. That was actually the original reason I got into the show.
Yeah.
Because I had just finished the new chest shield, and then Colin Bass hit me up and said, "Hey, I love your White Ranger costume. Need a White Ranger for the show. When, like, can you be here on this Saturday?"
Oh, nice.
I was like, "Yeah, of course. Like, let's do it. Let's shoot." So it was like within a week I was casted and in the production. And we went out to a location and we shot a bunch of footage, and it was a great time. And, afterwards, Colin was very interested in bringing Lord Draken fully into the show. So I offered to build my own Lord Draken suit as long as I still got to play him in the series. And Colin was 100% on board. So I got to build that suit over the course of the next couple months. And after it was done, we filmed episode 4. And then Draken doesn't appear in episode 5, but there will be some more stuff happening in episode 6. So pretty stoked for that. It's going to be a good time.
Well, 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 what do we have here? Yeah, not the duo I was expecting to see. Nonetheless, two more rangers to kill.
Not in this timeline, Draken.
This version of you is nothing special, Sam. The only reason you survived this long is because you're really good at running. That's not heroism. That's cowardice.
Once again, just like a Qui-Gon Legends, man, Shattered Past is so well done. And as of this recording, Power Rangers Shattered Past episodes 1-5 are available right now on Crimson Vision Studios' YouTube account. And Crimson Vision is brought to you by, once again, by Colin K. Bass, as well as Sean C. Swanson. Their projects are absolutely awesome. Make sure you're following and subscribed to stay up to date. They're so well done. I can't stress it enough. I enjoyed myself very, very much when watching the Shattered Past, as well as the Qui-Gon Legends series. And I'm so excited to further see the Qui-Gon Legends series, man. That one really, really impressed me. I'm not saying anything bad about Shattered Past or anything, but I'm just saying a Star Wars series, the way that you guys went about it, man, it really, really impressed me. It's very well done. The special effects, everything is very well done. And I'm super, super stoked about that. I want to talk to you about your cosplay, man. But before we talk to you about your cosplays, I think this is a perfect time to break up the monotony. And let's get into this week's Cosplay of the Week. Oh, yes. And this week's Cosplay of the Week is none other than, I could do this all day, throwing it up on the screen, no, the Mad Sparrow, spelled exactly how it sounds, and this is absolutely insanely phenomenal. The Mad Sparrow on Instagram, it is Zombie Captain America. It's so well done. I've had this in my vault for a decent amount of time now, and I've been wanting to feature it as a cosplay a week for a decent amount of time now, and here we are, dude. The caption says, "What if Zombie Captain America?" And the photo is done by Carlos_Colon. I believe that's how you pronounce it. Colon 16851. And it was taken at PR Comic-Con, which is in Puerto Rico. This is absolutely so well done, dude. Mad Sparrow, I love this. The helmet is, you know, everything about this is accurate. You got the A on the helmet for Captain America. You know, the helmet is dope. I love the eyes on the helmet with the, I don't know what you would call that. The little, the blue right there under the eyes. It's like a textured right there. I love that. The contacts, I would assume, with the white contacts, the zombie contacts, absolutely beautifully done. The facial features. Is that a mask, Mad Sparrow? I want to know. Is that a mask? Is it all connected? Is the helmet and the facial features there connected? Is it prosthetics? How'd you do that? I'm assuming it's probably some form of prosthetics. What do you think?
Yeah, it's either prosthetics or it is just an attached thing to the mask. But it's so form fitted though.
I know. It looks
so
well done.
Yeah, I think it might be a prosthetic almost. Yeah, it's great.
Like, it's great. Yeah, 100%. And I want to throw up a second photo here. This one's also from Puerto Rico Comic Con 2022. He also says in the caption that after skipping 2 years, it's good to be back. So I'm awesome. I'm glad that you had a great time, man. This is even crazier, dude. This showcases the entire cosplay, and you see that one of the arms, the clothing for the arms is ripped off and is showing your actual bare arm, but all zombied up. You know, it's got that whitish gray skin tone, you know, like because you're a zombie, obviously. And it's got a little bit of like red going on there, maybe a little bit of decay or dried blood. Who knows exactly? The suit is looking all decayed. It's absolutely awesome. And then you're walking the stance with the ankle bent, you know, perfect zombie stance, your head tilted, hunched over, slightly bent. The Captain America shield, the leg dragging, the foot dragging. It's absolutely dope, man. I love it all the way from the helmet down to the boots and the Captain America shield. This is great. I'm sure you were getting a lot of looks and a lot of people asking you to take pictures, man. I really dig this, and I thought that it was pretty fitting for part of the theme of this episode being that we're talking about Multiverse of Madness. Had Zombie Strange in there, you know, Marvel in general, What If, Zombie Captain America. This is absolutely dope, man. And you guys, please go follow the Mad Sparrow at the Mad Sparrow, exactly how it sounds, on Instagram, because the Mad Sparrow, your Captain America, Zombie Captain America cosplay of the week for me is amazing. Yes. All right. Also, this week's episode is brought to you by Legacy Comics, a comic book company built to foster and maximize the impact of independent creatives. Legacy Comics is the brainchild of former NBC editor, the minds behind the game's author, voice actor, and creator of the Condrey comic, Patrick Hickey Jr., alongside comic book artist, writer, and podcaster, John Sfidessi. Legacy Comics originally had a Kickstarter, now closed, that reached its goal in less than 5 hours. The comics imprint will be bringing you readings and arts in the form of Athos, a superhero hailing from a race of legendary ancients who created mankind. The Job, a wrestler who will do what it takes to get his big break. Kroom, based on the indie game of the same name, a planet decimated by an invading alien force. The Legend of the Night Owl, a mother and son duo out to clean up Brooklyn with fists and fury. And of course, Condrey, a homeless vagabond seeking revenge for his father's untimely passing at the hands of the Lopez gang. You can pre-order books today at legacycomics.com, and that's Legacy Comics, comics with an X at the end. And make sure to follow on IG and stay up to date at legacy_comics. Yes. All right, man. Your cosplays. Let's talk about them a little bit, dude.
All right.
I had the opportunity to work with you on the Batman shoot that we did, and the photos were done by Art Hero Photo, art.herophoto on Instagram, which one of those photos, and your Batman cosplay in general, there was two photos, but one of those photos was the one that we did together. It was a secondary highlight during when I featured you as a cosplay of the week. So I obviously dig your Batman, but you have a lot of epic cosplays that I admire, man, and I mean that, working with a lot of skilled photographers to bring the artistic vision to life, such as your amazing Spider-Man cosplay. It's, well, amazing, pun intended. And I'm throwing up a couple photos. They're up on the screen right now for the people that are watching, if you're watching on YouTube or Spotify. And these are shot and edited by @lifesabeach1918 on Instagram. And these are absolutely amazing, dude. I mean, and this time, no pun intended. These are actually really, really well done. The suit, I mean, the background in general with the Spidey symbol, the Spidey logo going down as your backdrop there for this photo, absolutely amazing. You've got the stance down. You're standing, you know, that heroic kind of stance. The suit is absolutely amazing, man. I mean, absolutely phenomenal. And I'm throwing up another one on the screen. And this one's with the Spidey, the web background going on there in the background, and you're got the Spidey stance down, you know, like a spider. This is amazing, dude. I mean, this is amazing. And Andrew Garfield is one of my favorite Spider-Men. This suit is one of my favorite suits, actually, and I know I'm kind of in the minority with that, because I know a lot of people didn't technically like this suit, but I actually always loved this suit. Being that you cosplayed as Andrew's iteration, is that because Andrew is your favorite Spider-Man, or did you just like the suit design? Why'd you choose this version?
Of the three so far that we have, Andrew is by far my favorite. I loved his iteration of the movies. I've been a huge fan of Andrew Garfield, like, since he was on Doctor Who, like, way, way back. I thought he just brought such a good life to Peter Parker as a character, and not in, like, a cheesy way, like how Tobey Maguire does it, or in, like, more of a teenager way like Tom Holland, but he just has a different level of realness to him that he brings, like a rawness to the part that I really, really appreciate. And this was one of my first cosplays ever, like Amazing Spider-Man 1. Like, this is like one of my first major ones.
Wait, really?
I remember buying this suit back in like 2014, 2015, and out at WonderCons with this one in particular. So revisiting it with all of these new photos was such a blast to do. I'm still constantly really, really improving in
the photos. Yeah, they're so well done.
Thank you. And I'm still constantly improving and modifying and stuff. So I do actually, I am working currently on a new face shell for the suit.
Nice.
And this is a face shell designed by Heroes Time, printed out by my buddy Meticulous Matt on Instagram. And the lenses pop out and everything. And I'm really excited to get this one finished. So
awesome.
That's going to look great.
I was going to comment on the eyes, since you brought up the eyes in this photo too. The eyes are slightly different than the actual movie, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yeah, that design's a little different than what the actual film is. Yeah.
I actually kind of prefer the eyes that you did here as opposed to the one in the movie. Yeah. Because I love the movie suit. I always love the movie suit, but the eyes I wasn't entirely sold on. Like the way that the eyes were and the color. I think maybe it was the color. The fact that they were yellow. I'm not sure, but I mean, I like the suit as a whole, but the eyes were the only thing where I was like, I don't know if I'm feeling those eyes 100%. But I dig the way that you did the eyes as opposed to the original in the movie. It actually works even better. And maybe it's just because there's more black around it. There's still yellow, but there's more black around it. So it pops a little bit more. I don't know. But I dig them, and I just wanted to say that. But go ahead. My bad. I didn't mean to cut you off.
Yeah, thank you so much. I really appreciate that. That's kind of what I tried to do, was stay away from like the sunglasses reflective nature of the lenses from the movie and kind of have them look a little more traditional in terms of like a Spider-Man look, but still carry those same colors.
And you pulled that off.
I think it's so interesting that the front. Thank you.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. Exactly. You pulled it off.
I've always loved this design, and growing up, especially around when the time the movie came out, I was getting told left and right that I looked like Andrew Garfield.
Nice.
So that's why I was like, then I gotta cosplay him. Spider-Man.
Yeah.
I wore this Spider-Man suit to multiple just first night showings and stuff of all the older Marvel movies. I think all the way up to like Ant-Man 1.
Oh, nice, dude.
Yep. So it's one of my favorites, man. One of my favorites.
Yeah. Insects got to support insects, man. Spider-Man and Ant-Man.
That's right. Yeah. The bugs got to stick together.
Exactly. They got to stick together, man. Keeping with Marvel-themed cosplays, dude, your Iron Man cosplay is an accomplishment in itself. It looks absolutely great. I think pulling off an Iron Man cosplay, in my opinion, and having it look realistic, properly fitted, and proportionate is always a feat in itself. And I think you pulled that off flawlessly. Here. I mean, you also do cosplay prop making. You mentioned it earlier. You also do cosplay prop making. You build some of your own and or parts of your own cosplays, such as what you did with this. Can you walk me through and walk everybody through a little bit of the process of when you were making this cosplay come to life? Did it take a while for Iron Man?
Yes. Iron Man took me about Just over a year to complete the full suit. Yeah, and that's with multiple iterations of different parts and stuff.
Yeah.
Because you know, measure once, cut twice. That's like the whole thing, right? So measuring off the first time, definitely a lot of parts didn't fit, and the initial suit didn't. Certain parts didn't quite look right. But as I figured out how to adjust those and change like scaling on certain parts and stuff, I learned a lot about how to craft with EVA foam, especially because that's what the whole suit is made out of.
Yeah.
And it was a big learning process, but it was definitely a challenge, and I really enjoyed doing it though. It was really fun to build the suit, and just whenever I show up at like an event or a birthday party or something in it, and the whoever's there, just like, they just lose
mind blown.
It,
yeah.
I know that I did a good job.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Does it take a lot to get in this suit? Is there a lot of pieces? Like, how do you piece it together when you get in this suit?
There's quite a few parts. We got the cod piece first, and then the legs go on next, and those are separated into everything. Kind of just slides on for the most part.
Nice.
But you got the cod piece, then the legs, then you got the ab section as a separate piece, and then the chest slides on over that. And I have a neck seal as a separate piece.
Damn.
And then the shoulder pads are attached, and then we got biceps and forearms. I 3D printed the gloves for the suit.
Nice.
So I could put light up pads in the center on the hand.
Nice.
So those look really good. The helmet itself is this one thing I'm still working on modifying because it's just the Marvel Legends helmet right now.
It looks
good.
Which
is a great helmet.
Yeah, it looks great though.
But I definitely want to make it. I want to make it move.
I got you. I got you. Yeah. Is this your most complicated cosplay? Would you say it's your most complicated one?
Yeah, I would say so.
I had a feeling.
Because of just how many pieces and how much it took to put together and all the scaling and also how it all attaches. Because I use a lot of clips and belts and stuff in there to keep everything kind of together once it's on me.
Right.
So.
Aside from your Batman cosplay on the DC side of things, the DC cosplay I'd like to highlight is your wonderful, and I mean it, man, your absolutely wonderful Superman cosplay. You make a great Superman, dude. It's very menacing to any villains that are headed towards Clark Kent's way, man. The look in your facial features, dude, they're so on point. And some of these photos that I'm going to be throwing up on the screen are done by Art Hero Photo. That's art.herophoto on Instagram once again. The red glowing eyes. The suit looks great. That old school style Superman, the classic symbol, the yellow belt looks amazing. The red shorts on the outside. I mean, you nailed it, dude. You absolutely nailed it. And when you and Leo get together, that's Art Hero Photo. When you and Leo get together, you guys come out with such amazing content, dude. You really bring it to life, man. And I want to throw up another photo where you're using the laser eyes, the heat vision, shooting up into the sky, killing a flock of birds in the process, but it's okay. We'll let it slide. I'm not PETA. What about the old school look of Superman, the comic look even, piqued your interest most? Like, why did you choose to go that route?
Superman has been one of my favorite superheroes, like, ever since I was a little kid, since my dad introduced me to comic books and stuff. I think Superman might have been the first superhero movie I ever watched, like the original Christopher Reeve, Richard Donner film from the 70s. Because it's my dad's favorite superhero movie, and so it transferred to me that it's mine. I'm so attached to that look of Superman and how Christopher Reeve pulled it off that I wanted to try and emulate that. Like, because I love Man of Steel, the classic suit is just where it's at for me. I don't know.
It looks phenomenal.
It's so simple. Yeah. Thank you, man.
It looks great. And the photo with the heat vision shooting up into the sky, man, Leo, if you're watching this right now, Leo, man, or if this becomes a promo clip and you see it on Instagram, phenomenal photo, phenomenal edit. Like, seriously.
You know, Leo always is going out of his way. I got to shout him out because he's the one always going out of his way to really find us good locations and take the time to really make the photos count. And if we don't find the location right off the bat, we'll just wander around and have a good time until we find the right spot. And he's great. And his editing is just amazing. Like, I love the way he edits his photos.
It really is. These are phenomenal. You guys make sure you're following Art Hero Photo on Instagram. That's art.herophoto for all his cosplay photography. It's absolutely dope. Since we're talking about Superman, dude, I want to know real quick, how do you feel about, you know, do you want Henry Cavill to come back as Superman? I mean, what do you want? Do you want a Man of Steel 2? Would you want a continuance of Zack Snyder's Justice League? What would you want to happen most? Or just a whole reboot the whole thing and start fresh? Where do you lie on all that?
I absolutely love Zack Snyder's Justice League, and I love Man of Steel, and I love all the stuff that came out of Zack Snyder's era. Just, I'm a huge fan of. So I want more of that. So to answer those questions, all of the above, like, get Henry Cavill back in the suit, get him back on set, have him flying around doing all the stuff.
Yes, I agree.
Because Zach was hitting the right tone with Justice League.
I think
so. He went really dark with Batman v Superman. But I think he course corrected very well with Justice League. He listened to the criticism.
Yeah.
He knew what he was doing to change that movie up and make it better.
Yeah.
And it just sucks that it got so nerfed by the studio.
I know, man.
He got removed from it before he could finish it.
It's also sad.
But I'm happy it's out. I'm happy we're able to see it.
Me too. It's also sad. I always thought this. I understand, you know, Hollywood, you know, things get cutthroat in entertainment. You got to do what you got to do. There's a lot of money involved. But like, the reason that he had to step away was because his YouTube frowns upon the word that I want to use. So I'm going to use a different word, but his daughter, you know, how do I say it without YouTube? They push videos back if you use the word. His daughter unalived herself, and I'm not trying to make a joke out of this. I'm trying to find a different word because if I use the actual word, they tend to like push your videos back, and they don't like that word. But like, it was a serious situation that he had to step away from. It's not like he got sick or like something happened and they were just like, no, we got to keep moving. And like, they just absolutely demolished his vision in that movie. And it's kind of sad. I mean, I get that business is business. I don't know exactly how he felt about it. I'm sure he was more concerned about his family and his daughter, you know, but I wonder if he was like, even in his mind, it was like, damn, you guys, like, it's not like I just stepped away for fun. Like, look what happened. Like, we couldn't have come to an agreement. We couldn't have figured something out. And then I also know, I don't want to really back them up because I think it was shitty of them, but I also get like the actors too have schedules. They got other movies they have to go do. I understand there is a lot to it, but I feel like there could have been a better way to go about it. You know?
Yeah.
That was my take on it.
I agree. Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
But I definitely want Henry Cavill back. I think he's probably he's right up there with Christopher Reeve for me is like,
yeah, same dude, same
best people to portray Superman.
Right.
And he's just so passionate and he knows so much about the character.
Yes.
And I'm just like, of all the people that you could pick to play Superman, he's the one.
He
like
is the
you
one.
Need him to keep playing.
Yep. I agree. How do you feel about the rumors?
Having heard some things about the...
No, go ahead.
Actually, I think you're about to ask me about what I was going to say, so finish your question.
Maybe. Let's see. How do you feel about the rumors and the possibilities of Henry Cavill coming into the MCU? Rumors going around, or it's possible that he could be either Hercules or Captain Britain, and it was actually confirmed that he did take a meeting with Marvel. We just don't know what happened in that meeting.
Well, if he comes into the MCU, I think I'd like him as Captain Britain over... Hercules, because I feel like Captain Britain has a little more staying power.
Right, I think so too.
Because Hercules, I feel like we're gonna see Hercules and a lot of other Greek gods maybe not make it through Love and Thunder.
Yes, I was gonna say the same thing, and that's actually another. Well, it's not a rumor; it's just speculative talk amongst fans saying that it is maybe that meeting that he took with Marvel was to appear as Hercules in Thor: Love and Thunder. And I mean, I get where people could get that, but I don't know if they would, you know, being that the God Butcher is going to be in this, just like I said earlier, you just said it now, a lot of gods are probably going to die in this. They're not going to waste Henry Cavill's star power on one movie where he dies to the God Butcher. You know, I don't see that happening. No,
There's no way.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah, no.
Not at all.
He's a moneymaker.
Exactly.
Like,
they,
like, and also, he's a very good stand-in for Chris Evans.
Exactly.
If they need a new
exactly.
big guy.
Exactly.
To lead the team.
Listen, I'm sorry I'm so hyper. It's just my first time as team leader. Okay, bye-bye.
Well, while we are going to get ready to wrap up here, before we do so, man, what are your you mentioned a couple things here and there. What are your cos plans? Do you have any cosplay plans for the future that you want to bring to light here and now? Anything that you have in the works, or even something that you've just been rummaging in your mind that you want to do? What's the future of cosplay look like for you right now?
I got some good ones coming. I've been working a lot with this company called X Coaster. They helped me out. They sent me a Peacemaker helmet this past couple weeks to
nice.
Review, and that helmet came out great. Head over to my Instagram page to see the review. And that was a great helmet. And they're sending me, they're sending me a new Moon Knight helmet too.
Nice.
So I'm going to be reviewing that very soon.
And I've
been working very closely with them on designing their Moon Knight suit. Like, I was able to take tons of photos and stuff at the premiere of the actual in-person costume. So we have tons of reference pictures, and they completely reworked it after seeing all those photos. So I'm just waiting to see updates on that. And hopefully I'll have that suit soon.
Nice.
So I'll be able to dress up.
Oh, I'm stoked for that, dude.
And I am working on a new, it's going to be a good time.
Yeah.
I'm super excited. and I am working on something new for Shattered Past. I
Ooh.
Can't talk about it right now.
Mm-hmm.
But there is something coming.
That's going to be interesting.
All I'll say is that maybe I won't play. Yeah, I won't. I maybe won't play a bad guy forever.
Oh, nice. Nice. See you step into a different role, man. Speaking of that, perfect transition. I'm glad you set that up. You've got your cosplay on one hand, acting on another. Can we expect to see you in anything else acting wise? Are you working on anything else? Is this something that you're going to continue pursuing?
Oh, 100%. Yes. I will be in more episodes of Shattered Past going forward.
Nice.
Maybe with a little more visibility
of
this guy right here. so it's going to be a good time. Things are on the horizon for Shattered Past that I'm really excited about. There's also, if you haven't seen it yet, go check out over on Honest Trailers. I was just in their Honest theme song, their very first video. I played Batman in their Honest theme song, Kissed by a Bat. So go
I've seen
that
it.
One out.
Yeah, it's amazing.
It is hilarious. I loved working on that with the whole team over there at Screen Junkies and stuff. They're all wonderful people. And I'm really hoping to work with them more on more stuff in the future.
Right.
So I will probably be showing up over there a couple more times
nice.
When they do more live action stuff. So
nice.
Super excited.
Nice. Well, man, I am going to get ready to let you go. This was a great time, dude. If there's anything that you want to say, the floor is yours. Say absolutely anything you want to say, any shout outs that you want to give, anything, the spotlight is yours.
Big shout outs. I'll just get them out of the way. I want to shout out my buddy Leo, Art Hero Photo, at all times. He's like one of the best photographers I know. He's just super great. Shout out to Marvel for creating all this stuff and allowing me to go to all these really cool premieres and things.
Yeah, super cool.
They're always so nice and helpful with getting us out to that stuff. Shout out to you, of course, Side Projects Podcast, for bringing me on.
Thank you, man.
This has been an absolute blast to expand and expound upon what I do and just bring it out to the world. I love it. If there's anybody out there aspiring to do anything like this, like cosplay wise, the only thing I could say is just do it. Just find your character, find the one you like, and just start doing it, man. Cause, it's a blast. It's a great time. So I have a great time with it. So
that's
join the world.
Yes.
Come into it.
Yes. Ladies and gentlemen, please go follow Corruption Cosplay on Instagram at @corruption_cosplay. And that's KORUPTION_cosplay with a K as well. Also follow his podcast, Marvel Talk Cast, because he does have a podcast of his own. Stay up to date with the series that he's a part of, both of them, the Shattered Past Project, as well as the recent Qui-Gon Legends, by subscribing on YouTube to Crimson Vision Studios. Studios as well as Nerdbot Studios, alongside following them on Instagram, same names on Instagram as well. Man, Jake, it has been an awesome time, dude. I'm glad we finally got to do this. We covered a lot of topics here, so sorry if we were running through things fast, you guys. And I can't wait to have you on again, dude. Something I've talked about with Amit and with Leo as well is maybe getting all of you guys on at the same time, whether it be via Zoom, because we're all in the same state, but some of us are further from others than others, you know? So whether it be in person, whether it be on Zoom, whatever it could be, we could all come together, talk about the shoot that we did, maybe go a little bit more in depth, talk about that crazy lady. I won't say anything else because maybe I'll save it as a nice little thing to talk about on the episode. But the crazy lady, yeah. The crazy lady during the shoot. And then I know that I won't say any spoilers, but I know that Amit and Leo are working on something special. And I did talk to them about maybe we could get all of us on at the same time when they're done working on something, whenever that comes to fruition. So that way we could also talk about that project that they're working on as well. And I think it would be a great time, man. So I will, of course, keep you updated on that whenever that happens. I'm sure they will too. And keep everybody else stay updated on when they could make that happen. So thank you for coming, dude. I really appreciate it. And everybody tuning in, thank you for watching, for liking, for commenting, for sharing, for doing all of those things you should do over on YouTube.com/Side Project Podcast. When you rate and review, you like and do those things, go ahead and people elbow that subscribe button. Make sure you subscribe because I think 60-70% of people that watch are not subscribed. So people's elbow that subscribe button and make sure that you're subscribed and get the notifications and do all that good stuff. Thank you for watching as well over on Spotify if you do, and listening on Apple and Google and all those things you listen on when you rate and review and you thumbs up and do all those the beautiful things you do. I appreciate it from the bottom of my heart. If you're looking for me, you can find me at IG Hates Chazzy on Instagram, and everything else you need to find me on is right here on the screen. You can go right there. It's not tappable. But they are in the descriptions, though, so you can click it in the description. If you're looking for the podcast as a whole on Instagram, you can find it on Instagram at Side Project Podcast, and that's Project with a K. And I just realized as I'm looking at myself in the camera that I never turned on the eyes for the Spawn helmet or the Punisher helmet that I have here. Haven't done that in a long time. Makes me very sad. I like those eyes. I like those eyes on. thank you guys for tuning in, man. I'm going to get out of here. Have a good time.